Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
For a little historical context, 37-year-old LeBron James just agreed to a two-year extension worth $97 million. Over his 15-year-long NBA career, Michael Jordan earned a grand total of $94 million. Now that is the biggest underpay maybe in sports history. And remember, he was the guy that was making so much money the Bulls had to walk away. They had no other choice, no recourse, but to walk away from Michael Jordan because he was about to make what the, I think the number became, what, $30 million? And they were like, no, we can't. Why?
That's why you can't ever say that anybody is overpaid, because the owners more than have it. And nobody's losing money, even with these gargantuan salaries. So weep no tears for the owners.
I'll say this. You know what's overpaid? The Warriors' luxury tax. That's overpaid. Not their team, not their players. But the penalty to keep this group together is preposterous. It really is. And I heard this is something that Steiny and JD were talking about a bit today. Their Warriors scheduling conversation quickly morphed into a Draymond Green conversation. Draymond Green, Ray, I think I got this framed right. You tell me how on the money this might be. Draymond Green is equally the single easiest important Golden State Warrior to be able to walk away from, and the hardest all at the same time. He's the toughest evaluation there is, because it feels like, just from a raw box score number, oh God, you can replace that and you can probably do better than that in so many instances. But to look at raw box score numbers to try to determine Draymond Green's value is the wrong way to go about doing it, because you won't find it there. So he's equally the easiest to replace and the hardest to replace Warrior all at the same time. It's going to be tough. It's a tough call coming up. And I really hope that Draymond gives this front office the grace period to figure it out on their timeline, not install his own timeline, because that's maybe the first time in his career he bites the hand that feeds him.
I think what he did, and he's only said this the one time, is to establish what he's looking for. The fact that he hasn't gone back to it a second time indicates to me that all he was doing was sort of marking off territory, and that he knows that a lot of things are going to change between now and next June. So I think this is a much smaller problem than it's being cast out as, because a lot of these answers will take care of themselves. He might have a sensational year, in which case, well, you got to do it. Or he might stink the joint out, in which case you absolutely don't even consider it. And the third possibility, which I think is the biggest one of them all, is that there's something between a max deal and cutting him loose. And you can negotiate and find something that will only hurt both sides a little bit.
Right.
It's us, not you and me, but, well, Steiny and JD. It's looking for a problem that doesn't yet exist and probably won't.
as long as Draymond is willing to sit down and negotiate, because he's smart enough to know that a full max contract extension isn't the right number for the Warriors. And trying to get over on him isn't the right way to go about it for the Golden State Warriors either. So there's got to be a common ground middle number. That there's got to be a number that everyone can settle on and walk away very, very happy and very well paid and very, very secure in all financials going forward. There's got to be that number. They'll find it.
Of course there is. And they'll find it. I mean, just he's not a fool.
Right.
They're not fools. And nobody's digging their feet in yet.
The only way he would be out for sure is if he really were 1,000,000%. It's max or I'm walking. At that point, that's a walk away.
Unless he has the kind of year this year that makes him indispensable. Because Joe Lacob can talk about, I've had enough. But Draymond Green is not the only savings they could find.
No, but at some point, choices are going to need to be made. And the choice to retain Jordan Poole, if he takes another step, might be, based on age and career timeline, the better choice to make.
And it might also be out of their hands. That's another thing that you'll find out in time. I mean, we keep saying the Orlando Magic because just they're a handy team to say. They might say, how about 30 a year? Maybe the Warriors blink at that and they walk away from Poole rather than Green. That's a possibility as well. All I'm saying is there are way too many sort of cleavers in the air for anybody to say this is a crisis in the making, because it's not. And most crises in the making 8 months ahead of time solve themselves.
Yeah, most crises in the making on sports are just content filling is what it is more than anything else.
I admire your honesty.
You guys are idiots. Why would you talk about other people's money, especially in these times? Do you want everyone to... Dude, this is sports! This is sports! Like, is this the same person as... Dude, there's a serious candy ass listening on the show today. Like, what are you talking about? This is sports. This is a salary-capped sport. How much money people make matter to the puzzle as you put it together. Dude, go get your sensitivities and take them to a playground with the children. We got adults talking over here. This might not be the show for you, 510.
You don't have to entertain this guy.
Nah.
You don't have
to. I'm on to him now, Ray. You're not going to sneak nonsense past me. Anyway. Draymond
Green. You can't ignore him.
Draymond Green's wedding guest list. Can't ignore this. It was a star-studded event. Every single Golden State Warrior was apparently there. LeBron James was there. Curry, of course, Juan Toscano-Anderson, Rich Paul was there, which means Adele probably there. Barbosa was there. We gonna be relationship. Jason Tatum was there. DaBaby was there. Ray, DaBaby.
Yeah.
He was there.
Okay.
Maverick Carter was there. Tom Izzo was there. How would you like to be in that Tom Izzo DaBaby conversation?
I'd kill to avoid it.
Wonder if he's like, man, how come you didn't land Amani Bates? What the hell? This is good inside Big Ten recruiting info.
Was Kevin Durant at said wedding? There's a reason why I'm asking this.
I do not believe so. And I also believe that he was in Los Angeles at the time.
Well, because he and Jason Tatum worked out, I guess, during that weekend. Just because they wanted to work out. And, of course, NBA radio was freaking out about it. As, oh, my God, this could be a sign that he's going to get traded to the Celtics. You know, just a reminder that nonsense is everywhere.
I mean, it's an easy pivot to make, but no, it doesn't mean anything.
No.
And by the way...
No, it means it's two guys who like to work out.
Right, and at this point, that would be tampering, would it not?
No, who's tampering?
Oh, no, I guess players can talk.
Yeah.
Players can talk. Just not former players like Magic Johnson.
Well, Magic probably should never talk, really.
I'm not going to be here.
Anyway. There you go. Draymond Green's wedding looked awesome. The blunt table, impressive. Like, I've seen really nice dessert tables at wedding. I'd like to think that my wife and I even had one. At no point in time were we thinking blunt table. See, blunts were there. I mean, it happened. But table o' blunts?
I'll be honest with you. That's where Duchess could have really bailed you out.
No, come on, Linda. You're cool enough. She could have been there. But no, she didn't even suggest blunt table. She thought we should have wedding cake.
Oh, God.
Actually, we didn't.
She could have been the roasted Duchess.
You know what we did? Our wedding cake was made out of Oreos. And we gave everyone Oreos and milk. Because that's about as good of a dessert as you can find.
Okay.
Strong move, Ray. By the way, it saved
hundreds.
Of
so in other words, yeah, the only thing that was strong about this was the fact that you didn't have to crack open your wallet.
On a budget. This is a wedding on a budget.
Wait a minute. She's got a high-powered job. You get paid way too much money here. You guys had money skirting out of your ears.
Wedding on a budget, Ray. We're keeping it all. We're leaving it to Jack and Ozzy. We're not giving it to some wedding coordinator.
I don't see why you should cut your kids in on it. They haven't done anything yet. All they've really done is show up.
This is what I've been saying to her, too. Let's leave these kids in a well-appointed closet. Go to Europe.
I need to have a chat with her.
You're just the person to give us relationship, wedding planning advice, child rearing advice.
Yeah. The
Mr. Ratto's neighborhood.
The working phrase is give up. There's no way out.
So anyways, when we come on back, Tim Bontemps from ESPN covers the NBA. We'll see if he's saying that the Boston Celtics had the greatest defense he's ever seen with his own two eyes, or maybe even giving the Warriors an 8 seed. He's done that in the past.
Wow, this turned ugly immediately.
We love Tim Bontemps. He's one of our favorite basketball conversations. He's going to join us next on the day that the NBA schedule comes on out. And after that, we're going to get to, hey, the 49ers are in Minnesota. What's going on there? Hey, the Giants had a walk-off in 5 in a row. What's going on there? And hey, what do you know? The A's are demonstrating what a bunch of cheap screws they are once again. So stick around. A lot of fun still coming up on 95.7 The Game. We are brought to you, what do we got here, by the San Diego Tourism Authority. Endless sunshine, coastline, and outdoor adventures just waiting for you down in San Diego. You can plan your trip today at sandiego.org.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Back to Damon and Ratto, brought to you by BMW Fairfield on 95.7 The Game.
It's great to have you here, and it's great to finally have an NBA schedule in our hand. We get to plan what this station's winter certainly is about to look like, and because it's the Golden State Warriors, chances are we're going to be making plans until June once again. That's right, you heard me say it. We're very happy to welcome on in to Damon and Ratto Tim Bontemps from ESPN, one of their national NBA writers. Spent a lot of time out here, obviously, covering the Warriors before we lost him to Eastern pasture, if you will. But man, the main interest in this league still remains out on the West Coast, Tim. The Warriors, with their amount of nationally televised games, followed by the Lakers, and then the Celtics find themselves in there, but it's Suns, it's Clippers, it's Mavericks. Not that Dallas is necessarily in the, on the West Coast, but still an awful lot of interest on this coast in the NBA indeed. How are you, pal?
I'm doing well, Damon. How are you guys doing?
We're excellent. Thank you very much. You know, I know that you know, everyone gets schedules. They come on out. I don't know if you just ran right to the Golden State Warriors schedule to take a look at it, but in terms of this being schedule release day, what's the first thing that popped out to you?
I mean, honestly, Damon, the thing I think that's most interesting about the schedule in general is that for the first time in as long as I can remember, the Lakers' schedule isn't backloaded. Now, for fans at home who don't really understand why I say that, basically, the Lakers have always had their schedule pushed towards the end of the season in terms of having all the marquee games because during football season, on my network and TNT tried to save the marquee matchups for after football's over. And then they really make a big push over the second half of the year to have a lot of marquee games. Golden State, as you guys know, is all over the schedule, basically from January 1st on, really from Christmas on, because they're the number one draw in the league, as you pointed out correctly before. What's interesting about the Lakers is they've only got a couple of national TV games after the All-Star break. And to me, what I think that says is everybody, you know, maybe outside of L.A. has sort of figured out that, you know, despite the fact that they have LeBron James and Anthony Davis on their team, this Laker team is not likely to be in the hunt as it stands now. Now, obviously, if they swing a Kyrie Irving trade at some point or something like that, maybe things will change. But as constituted, they're just not good enough. And so, you know, it's kind of a wonky thing. But I think looking at that, I think it's recognition that really across the league, everybody just doesn't see the Lakers as the kind of threat that you would think a team with LeBron James and Anthony Davis would be.
Tim Bontemps from ESPN joining us here on 95.7 The Game. We're going to quickly try to get him on a little bit better of a connection before we get back to him. We'll have a What If Wednesday coming up in our 5 o'clock hour this afternoon as well. I also want to get Tim's thoughts here on Rivalry Week, which feels like a manufactured promotional vehicle more than actual NBA rivals, but so on and so forth. Is Tim back? We got him ready to go? No, we're working on it.
Tim got a better offer.
From who?
Does it matter?
Well, I mean,
the pizza delivery man.
The pizza showed up?
If the pizza showed up, absolutely. I'd hang up on me if the pizza showed up. But, no, I mean, it's, I'm a little surprised that, you know, that the Lakers are now that diminished in the league's eyes. I have a feeling that LeBron James creates his own buzz.
He does. He does. But
I think the team that, you know, you're going to see a lot less of than you thought you would is Brooklyn, for the obvious reason.
Yeah, especially if a deal gets done that sends him out of town. I believe we have Tim Bontemps back now, hopefully on a little bit of better connection. Tim, you with us again?
Yep.
Oh, there it is. Crystal clear, baby. As you were saying, luster being lost from the Lakers, but they do actually have some news today. A two-year, $97.1 contract extension for LeBron. Was there ever any doubt in your mind that he was going to angle for that and then leave himself a little walk room, maybe for Bronny in his final season or two?
Well, I mean, certainly, Damon, the fact that he has an opt-out in 2 years, you know, it certainly sets him up to have the ability to walk away from the Lakers and go wherever his kid is at in a couple of years if he wants to. But I was surprised that this happened just because, as we were talking about before, this Lakers team is not good enough to compete right now, and I thought their best chance to be as competitive as possible with LeBron and AD was for LeBron to take some less money, a little bit less money in that next deal, sort of like what James Harden did this summer in Philly, and allow them to fill in the roster around him. The fact that he didn't, well, certainly he's entitled to get every cent he can get. It does put them in a position where it's going to be difficult to have a good enough team around them to really compete for championships. So, you know, it is an option that's now off the table, and I'm a little surprised that he ultimately decided to go that way. I thought he might end up going the other way. So, was surprised it happened. Not surprised he got the max. If he did extend, he was obviously going to always extend this way. And I think it shows that really since he got to L.A., you know, his priorities were to be in L.A. and now to play with his kid. And I think this contract, you know, exercises, you know, checks both those boxes, and we'll see if the Lakers can get themselves to a position where they're going to be good enough to actually compete for a championship as well.
Can it be read, though, as an admission by him that the Lakers aren't going to be fixed in the near term, and that, you know, trying to figure out a way to take less money is basically just taking less money, and it doesn't really fix what ails the Lakers?
I think if you ask me, what it says, Ray, is that I think what it says to me is that LeBron's priorities are not necessarily winning first, right? And I think that's been the case, really, if you go back to the moment he came to Los Angeles. Like, what, you know, for the first 15 years of LeBron's career, everything he did was geared towards winning, right? He changed, went to Miami to play with Dwayne and Chris. He goes back to Cleveland to play with Kevin Love and Kyrie. He's constantly pushing for teams to trade young players for vets, to improve all the time, to trade all their picks, right? Everything was geared toward trying to accumulate wins and championships and be as successful as possible. And then he decides to go play for a Laker team that was not a playoff team, had not been in the playoffs for several years, did not have, you know, had pieces that could go get another star player, but there was no guarantee they were going to be able to get another star player. But he wanted to be in LA. And really ever since then, he hasn't exerted the same kind of pressure on the Lakers that he did on the prior franchise he was with. He hasn't signed short-term contracts. He signed, you know, deals without player options is the first option he's had, I think, since he came to the Lakers. So it's just been interesting to see that shift in approach from him. And I think really, like I said before, to me, if you're looking at this by his actions signal that his two biggest priorities are to be in Los Angeles and to play with his kid eventually. And by signing this contract, he completed both of those goals in terms of what he wants to do.
I also think he's putting himself in a position to be a leading scorer and to get that all-time NBA scoring title.
Yeah, and he would have got that with any team this year. Like that's going to happen regardless.
Yeah, right? I guess you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, like he's only 50 or so games away if he scores mid-20s a game. Like he would do that on anything. But to be clear, I don't think I don't look at that as any kind of negative thing from his standpoint.
No.
To do what they want to do. But I just find it fascinating that it's been a clear shift from him in terms of what he was going after for such a long time. It's now been a very clear shift in another direction that these are the things that he is now interested in. And it's playing in L.A. and having the ability in 2 years of his kids in the league to play with his kid.
Tim Bontemps from ESPN here on 95.7 The Game. So the Warriors are very much still in the winning championships business. And I'll tell you, they had the really soft landing in their schedule built into the front end, and they took advantage of it. And it's a good thing that they did, because they needed all of it by the time that they got where they were going. They're going to jump right into this season with 9 games in their first month against teams that qualified as playoff teams last year, and 12 of their final 16 opponents also in the thick of teams that were playoff teams last year. So it feels like the Warriors, you know, they're going to be hunted once again. They've got a loaded up schedule. I don't know how many breaks are built in for or against them, but they're going to start with a rough one and they're going to end up with a rough one in terms of scheduling.
Yeah, I mean, my stance on the schedule is pretty much always that everybody plays 82 and they play 41 at home and 41 at the road and on the road, and that's just sort of the way it breaks out, right? So I don't really read too much into whether anybody had schedule for or against them. What I will say, though, is to your point earlier when we started about how the Warriors are a marquee, the marquee draw in the league. When you're the marquee draw in the league, you're going to get a ton of national TV games. If you're going to get a ton of national TV games, you're going to play a lot of really good teams, right? And that, I think that's what it's a sign of, is to your final point there about the Warriors being the hunted team again. But, you know, even over the last couple of years, as they were sort of getting back to being a championship caliber team past all the injuries to everybody, obviously Steph and Draymond and, you know, Klay Thompson, these guys are a major draw. But now that they won the title, they've come back again. They have the most national TV games in the league. They are the marquee draw again in the league. And as a result, they're going to get a ton of big time games. They're going to have a difficult stretches in the schedule. And like you said, you start off the year, the big blowout to begin the year, play a bunch of high profile games. You're playing on Christmas. You're playing on all the big days. You're playing on Saturday and Sunday on ABC. And like you said, you're part of the closing stretch of the schedule where we ramp things up before the playoffs. So, you know, I think it's just in keeping with the fact that the Warriors are the number one team in the league. And as a result, they're going to be in everybody's face on national TV as much as they can see them as much as they want on those platforms.
Does that represent any kind of competitive advantage or disadvantage? Or, you know, and I'm not thinking in terms of how the teams they would play would be different, because those are set, you know, years in advance. But just in the days that they're playing, is there a problem that a team that plays that many national TV games has in terms of, you know, when they play and when these games are bunched together?
I think that was more of a case, Ray, back before the NBA really made a proactive push to make the schedule a little easier on teams in those games, right? Now they've really gone out of their way to make sure there's no game on either side of these national TV games, so everybody plays at all the games. So that's less of an issue now. I mean, certainly if you're playing in sort of those prime marquee games, obviously you're going to have some days where you're going to be playing on nights where fewer teams are playing. That might lead to, you know, a couple extra rest nights here and there that might hurt you a little bit. But ultimately, that's all margin stuff. And like I said, maybe 7-8 years ago, it was a bigger problem when the league didn't really take into consideration really prioritizing those national TV games. But now, you know, you're playing against the best teams and you're playing them generally with everybody having time off. So if anything, it might eliminate some of the random back second half of back to back against good team games that you might sit a couple good players. Whereas now the Warriors are going to play all those games at full strength, and the Warriors are full strength against just about any opponent. As you guys both know, they're going to feel pretty good about their chances of winning.
Just get to the finish line healthy and anything can happen. It's been proven time and time again. Tim Bontemps, final question for you. Kevin Durant, when will it end?
I guess if you mean when will it end in terms of when he'll be traded, I don't think he's going to get traded at all, frankly.
So it never ends. We're in a cycle of permanent misery with Kevin Durant.
I mean, I don't know if I quite put it that way, but I mean, I do think that there's nothing that has happened so far, Damon, has shown me that any team is going to be willing to change their offer for KD. They don't see a need to try to entice the Nets to make a move now. And as long as that remains the case, Kevin Durant's going to be on the Nets. And I guess he could potentially try to not play or hold out or something, but I just don't think that's anything he's going to want to do. He wants to play. And my prediction is he's going to be there at the opening of training camp playing for the Nets. And then, you know, after the trade deadline, again, I still think it's more likely than not that he's on the Nets all season and he gets traded. Now, obviously, we could see some team panic during the season or have injuries or struggle and decide to make a big swing. So maybe something changes later, but it just doesn't seem like the Nets are going to get the kind of offer they want. And ultimately, Kevin Durant's under contract for 4 years. And so if the Nets are willing to stick to their guns and say, hey, man, like, you're going to play in the NBA, you're going to play for our team, you know, they're probably going to be better off having Kevin Durant on their team than any trade they could make. So, you know, as long as the offers stay where they are, I think he's going to be a net. And frankly, if those three guys, him, Ben Simmons, and Kyrie are all playing, they're probably going to be awfully good too. So, you know, like you said, I don't think this is ending anytime soon. I'll put it that way.
Tim, thank you very, very much. It's always a pleasure to catch up with you, man. Thank you for joining us today.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me. Talk to you again soon.
Tim Bontemps from ESPN. Look, the whole thing with Kevin Durant is, I guess, the New Orleans Pelicans were trying to maybe work a trade, but they wouldn't include Brandon Ingram in the package. Saw this in the Times-Picayune. Ingram is 9 years younger than Durant and makes approximately $15 million less per year. He is one of the only young all-star caliber players that the Nets could potentially trade for while also keeping Ben Simmons, because Ingram did not sign a five-year max extension coming off of his rookie contract. He resigned in free agency. So NBA rules mandate a team could not acquire two such players. He fit the bill, but apparently the Pelicans are out there. And the other, I guess, kind of big NBA trade that people are waiting for to go down is, what about Donovan Mitchell? Hornets and Wizards remain in the conversation, but apparently Utah and the New York Knicks have reopened negotiations.
Yeah, that'll last about a week, and then they'll be back where they were, because from what I have been able to glean, the offers are still roughly the same, and neither side is too keen with the other side's proposal. So unless Leon Rose changes his view or Danny Ainge does, I think, you know, Donovan Mitchell will end up starting the season as a member of the Utah Jazz, for good or ill.
There are enough Kevin Durant fanboys out there to prevent the entire crowd from booing him. But Kevin Durant will be booed opening night in Brooklyn. Not by everybody there. But I'm going to tell you right now, Brooklyn is one of those places where you show a disloyalty to the borough of Brooklyn, New Yorkers remember that. New Yorkers get more pissed off about sports than just about any other group of people in any other city you could possibly shake a stick at. So, yeah. Welcome to a wildly awkward existence in the home you tried to build for yourself, Kevin.
Well, that will not happen only if he figures out a way to sort of make amends with what has been a disastrous PR offseason for him. I don't know how he does that. I mean, he's pretty cavalier about, you know, today's explanation is different than tomorrow's explanation will be. But I think he will at least make the attempt to make good on this. And if he goes out and plays hard, which I think most people assume he will, that'll go a long way.
I'll never question his on-court effort, ever.
Yeah.
To question that. And that's other element of his career is questionable.
Well, I mean, his choices, you know, going back to 2018, 2019 are the start of that. But most of the choices fall down not because he wanted to find his own level of happiness. It's the fact that he wasn't a very good general manager.
He was awful.
He picked friends, not talent. I mean,
well, they were talented friends.
They were just talented all friends, blew up. But they were friends first. And the chemistry that is involved in making a roster is so difficult to create, let alone recreate. I mean, say what you will about the Warriors, a lot of what happened to them was just plain good luck. You know, Stephen Curry finding a way to make his ankles strong, having Draymond Green available at 35, having Klay Thompson not only available at 11, but being willing to suddenly become a lockdown defender as well as a shooter. I mean, those are things they could not foresee when they took those guys. But they all turned out great, and, you know, all credit to them for it. But so much of building a roster is about good fortune, as well as picking out people who will buy in And that's the thing that you can never know when you get somebody's, how much will you buy in? How much will you believe in what we're selling you? And they got a great advantage with Curry when they didn't really have an expectation of that, because he wanted to be drafted by the Knicks. And he could have easily come to Oakland and just power-pouted, in which case they'd be back where they've always been, mediocrity, you know, trying not to finish 13th. But they found that they got kissed by God.
All the little pinpoints of data, you remove any one of them, and it's like a toppling of dominoes. Everything would have changed. You know, let's say the Milwaukee Bucks say no to Monte Ellis for Andrew Bogut. Right there, NBA history changes.
Yeah.
In that moment alone. Let's say they don't do the deal for Wiggins. What the hell just happened this year? Not an NBA championship, I'll tell you that right now. And you know who believes that? I'll tell you who believes that. Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban on Taylor Rooks's Bleacher Report podcast, or sit down with her, says that it was Andrew Wiggins that sent Dallas home. The quote was, "The Mavs knew what to expect." The story reads, "The Mavs knew what to expect from Steph, Clay, and Draymond, but they were surprised how Andrew Wiggins stepped up in the Western Conference Finals." And the quote from Cuban is, "I think he was the one who beat us. We didn't know what to expect or how Wiggins would step up, and he did. And he sure as hell did. I mean, Luka Doncic wasn't exactly shut down, but he was slowed down thanks to the effort of Andrew Wiggins."
No, I mean, Cuban's absolutely right. The Warriors do not win this title without Andrew Wiggins, who, other than one sensational game from Stephen Curry, might have been their best player beginning to end.
Yeah.
And because he became that kind of a defender, in addition to what else he does, he makes the Draymond Green question a more open one, because if they decide to, you know, move on from Draymond Green for whatever reason, they have to hold on to Wiggins because he becomes their best defensive player. And as long as Steve Kerr is coaching there, defense is going to be enormously important to them. So absolutely. It just, that just screams out at you. It's just Andrew Wiggins made himself invaluable.
So you're telling me Mark Cuban knows basketball?
He knows that much basketball. I mean,
do you know where he went to school?
Well, he overcame that.
Let's go Hoosiers. By the way, there's more
proof. He still built me out of $100, the bastard.
There is more proof that he went to Indiana, and we'll offer it to you.
An arrest record?
No, just a moment. Just a moment. We'll bring it to you because apparently Wild Turkey has gotten to him in evil ways, which I can tell you got to me and my group of friends in evil ways in Bloomington. We are going to get back into the Giants winning a walk-off in five in a row, and they've got the two top guys in their rotation. Looking at the rest of this homestand, so for the first time in a long time, things are setting up well for the Giants. Even though the A's won, there's still an embarrassing element attached to them. We'll share that with you before it's all said and done, and we're going to talk about the 49ers in Minnesota and wide open spaces. So don't you go anywhere. We still got a lot coming up in the longest commercial-free segment of the entire day. It's right around the corner. Damon and Ratto here on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back to Damon and Ratto, brought to you by BMW Fairfield on 95.7 The Game.
Giants, A's, and Niners all coming up, but I promised you a little story about getting a little too drunk from Mark Cuban himself. He was on the Taylor Rooks Bleacher Report podcast, and he was talking about a night out with Juwan Howard on his birthday.
We were out for Juwan Howard's birthday party in New York City. It was right before the All-Star break. We had just played the Knicks, I think, and we had an extra few days, right? So we were going to go out. It was me, Finn, Dirk, Nash, and I forget who else. And we went to, what was it called, Lotus Rose, something. But we go in there, and we, and then me in particular, started buying, I think it was Wild Turkey by the bottle.
Oh, wow.
And drinking it out of the bottle. It was ugly. It was ugly. So yeah. let's just say that it wasn't long after that. My head was hanging out the window of the limo getting sick. And all these guys are laughing at me. And thank God it was pre-iPhone. Otherwise, I could never live it down. I still can't live it down with these guys.
So who's like the comfort in the group at that moment? Like, was Dirk like, it's okay, Martin?
Hell no. Are you kidding me?
You know, you guys
they were like, oh, they were throwing me under the bus for years.
All right, number one. That sounds like a pretty good drinking foursome right there. Cuban, Finley, Dirk, and Steve Nash. And don't sleep on the tiny Canadian, because they can put him away with the best of them. So that would be a hell of a group to go out with. And just to let you know, my friends and I had a lot of run-ins, Ray, with what we lovingly referred to as the kickin' chicken. Wild Turkey, baby. Wild Turkey has ended many a night early for me and my boys in our days.
Yeah, no, that's a drink you want when you don't have something that will take the paint off the deck if you have a boat.
The kickin' chicken. Oh, it was so good. And there you go. I know that we've been sold a bill of goods that there are, you know, there's no difference anymore between men and women. We're all the same. And in many ways we are. But in that one specific way, we are clearly not. Did you hear Taylor Rooks's question was, so who was there to comfort you as you're throwing up on the side of a limousine? And he basically laughs her off the podcast saying, that ain't how it works. There is no equivalent of holding Becky's ponytail as she throws up in the toilet in the world of men. We point, we laugh, we mock, we buy another shot.
But I think she knew that and was setting him up, because that's the way the question sounded to me. Like, she knows that boys operate differently, and that there's the most you can hope is that somebody will hold your hair out of the way of your spew.
Yeah, no one does that. Boys don't do that. And who was there to comfort you? No one was there to comfort me.
Yeah, I think she was setting that up to be the response. That's because I think I've heard her before.
I like how you have no presumptions about anything until I'm trying to make a funny point, and then you're defusing it.
No, I get what you're saying, but I think she was trying to set up, because I've heard her do other stuff, and she's not naive to what the kids do. Especially when the kickin' chicken is involved.
Thank you. I wonder how...
I wasn't arguing with you. I'm merely pointing out that it sounded to me like she knew what the answer that she was going to get was.
I think the right way to set it up at that point would have been like, any sympathies? No. Well, no sympathies given.
Maybe.
Anyway, there is always someone in my wife's group who's holding Becky's hair as she throws up. I just know that from all my, you know... girlfriends. They travel still to this day in packs to the bathroom, sober or otherwise. You got to respect the group. It is time to talk about what happened at the ballpark last night. Because look, after Merrill Kelly basically looked like a Cy Young candidate against the San Francisco Giants once again, he's finally out of the game. And they're looking at Ian Kennedy now in the ninth inning. Kennedy gets the first two outs. An Estrada triple puts him on third. Giants down to their last out of the game.
Center field. Thomas back.
Unbelievable win for the Giants last night. Ian Kennedy blew it for sure. And Crawford, who, look, that's his biggest moment of the season. like bar none. And this guy's having a tough year. Not only has he been dealing with injuries, he's a 223 hitter with now six homers and 37 driven in, two of them right there. He was 298 last year with a career high 24 home runs and 90 driven in. So a massive regression year for Crawford. But boy, he delivered the mail last night when they needed it. That's a five-game losing streak. Grant Brisby.
Winning streak.
Thank you very much. A winning streak. We'll talk about the A's snapping their losing streak. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. But the Grant Brisby, he summed it up very, very well in his article, just saying the Giants hit two come-from-behind walk-off homers in the 90s. They hit two last decade, and now they've hit three in the last 30 days. Two of them in the last 3 days. You had Estrada walking off the Pirates on Sunday. Crawford, he did the trick last night. And ESPN Stats and Info even fluffed the point with this. Brandon Crawford's home run was the first the Giants hit in a walk-off home run with the team down to its final out since 2009 when Pablo Sandoval hit a three-run shot off of Joe Bimel and the Nationals. So you probably didn't think you were going to hear Joe Bimel's name on the show today.
I had definitely eliminated that as a possibility.
That's my gift to you.
Thanks, you're swell.
But look, we talked about situational entertainment, right? Well, that's situational entertainment right there.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they have to be from now on, because they're not going to overwhelm you with star power. So, yeah, they've got to do stuff like that, which is what they did most of last year. I mean, 18 pinch hit home runs last year. And people were wondering, well, what's wrong with them? Well, they're not getting home runs that they don't deserve to get at the same rate that they used to.
Brisby went on to write, you know, the Giants fans spent the last 3 months being especially mad at this team because they do expect good things. They were offered one of the greatest platters of fan service that the regular season could possibly offer, and that was just last season. Crawford's home run was a reminder that was expected not too long ago. It was a reminder of what was delivered not too long ago. There was a time, and we're just talking months ago, when it was normal for the Giants to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. It was normal for Brandon Crawford to look like an icon and a hero. It was, you know, that would, by the way, lodge into an 11-year-old's brain to turn them into a season ticket holder in 2044. The real calamity, writes Grant Brisby, of 2022 so far is the complete reversal of all those feelings and expectations. You trusted the bullpen, and now you don't. You trusted the pinch hitters, now you don't. You expected balls in play to be turned into outs, now you don't. And he's right. And what's maddening about all of this, after 3 months of dreck and now a decent week of baseball that has them four and a half back, pardon me. The Giants' expected record is right there with other fringe postseason contenders. Their Pythagorean theorem. Their Pythagorean record doesn't look out of place compared to the Rays, the Mariners, the Guardians, the Blue Jays, the Orioles, the Twins, the Phillies, the Padres, the Brewers. All the Giants need to catch up is an extended run of nonsense. And I guess the nonsense is them starting to play somewhere approaching their mathematical equation and other teams around them starting to fall apart a little bit. And that's not out of the question either.
No, their schedule is very soft until the 29th, and today's the 7th. So they've got 12 days of relatively decent chances to make some inroads. But they can't let that get away from them because the schedule gets very bearish after that. So if they're going to get back into this, this is a window of opportunity that they should not leave untended.
Gabe Kapler stopped on by Willard and Dibbs today to talk about how he goes about setting a lineup and a batting order.
On the surface, it looks like, well, you're lining up your order in, you put your best hitter in the three hole, or you put the on-base guy in the one, or you put the guy that can move the runner over in the two. And I think that's sort of how it's traditionally looked at. But the first thing we're looking at is the relievers in the opposition's bullpen and when those guys may come into a game. to force us or to attempt to force us to make a move.
Isn't that a little bit of a backwards way to go looking at it? You're worried about how the relievers will affect your lineup. Maybe that explains why starters more often than not leave them with, you know, three hits and no runs over the first five innings all the time.
Well, it sounds like overthinking to me, but so much of baseball managing right now is overthinking. It's, you know, it's always been a thinking man's game, but I've heard this sentence that Gabe Kapler just emitted from most managers in baseball. I mean, that's how they think of it now. That's why the game is more homogenized and less sort of idiosyncratic than it used to be, which sucks a lot of the fun out of it. Because you have so many general managers who think the same way based on the same set of numbers, they ensure that the managers they hire think that way too. So it does seem backwards, but it's backwards in comparison to the baseball of a decade ago. It's not backwards in terms of how managers do this now. And in fact, it sounds an awful lot like it came straight from the mouth of Kevin Cash, the Tampa Bay manager, who sort of put a lot of these processes in play 5-6 years ago when he started. So
maybe it's a little bit of a testament to the strength of this team starting pitching, which still is a strength. They have not gone the opener route very often. And no. It doesn't feel like it's happening around baseball this year nearly as frequently as it did over the past two seasons.
No, and the place where it would happen the most is Tampa, but they've had so many injuries that they've had to do a more conventional job of trying to get their pitching staff squared away on a day-in, day-out basis. So, yeah, I think there might be fewer openers, but it might also be that being an opener and employing openers taxes a lot more arms than a traditional rotation.
Do you think it's fallen out of fashion, or is it just pure function?
I think it's function this year. I think it'll be back next year because it takes a lot to get guys with MIT training to stop thinking like MIT grads.
I don't know if MIT grads are good for the game of baseball. But anyway, certainly math is where the Giants, you know, come up with a lot of their ideas from. How about that, Grandy? I see you pointing to the clock. That means welcome everyone to their 5 o'clock hour.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.